Have you ever noticed when the teacher asks topics to speak about that almost always the topic of fasting? It fascinates us, doesn't it? We are a culture that overindulges. We have much more than we need and we still want more. That's our culture. We're not satisfied. And fasting just doesn't seem to quite fit in to our culture, does it? As a matter of fact, you know, there are still cultures today where fasting is important. And it's amazing, in those cultures, the churches fast. The great example is India. I've been reading reports of the mission work going on in India. India is closing in on America in the number of churches and the number of Christians and expected to surpass us not too far in the future. But I was amazed at this report. Because in there he said, and maybe this should shame us, but the men had been fasting the entire day before. This is the middle of the week they're talking about. They were fasting the entire day. That night, the men were going to come together in one home, and the women were coming together in another home, and they were going to pray the night through and then go to work the next night. And I asked the missionary, he said, this is not something that they do once in a while. He goes, they do this once a month. Isn't that amazing? Let's talk about fasting. Why is it that even here in the West, people want to have a class on fasting? What could it be? Particularly because I think Americans, for the most part, and I could be wrong, don't fast. There might be some. Phew. I heard something. But think about it. What fascinates us with the thought of fasting? Could it be guilt because we've never done it? Could it be the thought that maybe if I fast, I'll be more spiritual? Perhaps we have some concept that by fasting, maybe God will be more pleased with us. But fasting is definitely a New Testament subject. We can't deny the fact. Jesus spoke of fasting on two occasions. And interestingly, he never commanded his disciples to fast. But he did approve of fasting, and he gave regulations for the practice of fasting. Fasting was common in the lives of the people of Jesus' day. The Jewish people and even the other religions around them, pagan religions, but they also fasted. But for me, the most interesting fact about fasting is the Old Testament required the people of Israel to fast only once a year. Does anybody know on what day Israel was to fast? I was hoping a non-preacher would talk, but the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement. What was special about this day? Preachers are allowed now. It was the day the high priest was to go into the temple, the most holy place, and bring offer for the sins of the people of Israel. This, and a day of confession. But this was to be for Israel a day of fasting. Now I'm reading out of the New Century, but listen to this. This is in Leviticus chapter 20, 29 through 31. Anyone who refuses to give up food on this day must be cut off from the people. If anyone works on this day, I will destroy that person from among the people. You must not do any work at all. This law will continue for people from now on, wherever you live. It will be a special day of rest for you, and you must not eat. You will start the special day of rest on the evening after the ninth day of the month, and it will continue from that evening until the next evening. And it's also interesting, I looked up the word that was translated here, not to eat food, and it was a Hebrew word, and it meant to afflict one's soul. It tells a lot about the thought, doesn't it? It was a humbling moment for the people. The high priest was to go before God and ask forgiveness for his people. But with time, the Jewish people adopted other fasts. By the time of Jesus' day, the Pharisees fasted very often, twice a week. And I was doing some study, and it's remarkable. For the most part, I'm trying to find where I wrote this. They fasted on two particular days. Oh yeah, they fasted on what we would call Monday and Thursday, which just happened to be the days of the town or the village's market, when people would come to town to buy food and to trade. But why do you think the Pharisees did that? Did they have an ulterior motive? Well, let's keep on going. Just keep that thought in your head. But the thought from from the Hebrew word way back in Leviticus was to afflict one's soul. Who is the giver of all good things? God. Do we tend to remember that? No. Sometimes I think even at Christmas we forget the purpose that Jesus did come to the earth. Was it to get gifts, or was it to get the greatest gift that God had given for his people? But fasting to the Pharisees became a ritual. Something that they did as a customary way of life. And Jesus didn't condemn fasting. He condemned the attitude of the Pharisees towards fasting. Jesus saw through their hypocrisy. I've mentioned this before. What does the Hebrew word hypocrisy mean? An actor. One who acts. Hypocrisy means people who are putting on a show. And for the most part, not living that role, just as an actor or an actress. Let me read a verse to you. This is Jesus. He's talking about fasting. Do you remember there was a story that, I don't know if it was a story or if it actually happened. It might have actually happened. Jesus was talking about two men who went to the temple to pray. And one of them was a Pharisee. And do you remember what his prayer was all about? How great he was for God. And what, you know, one of the things that he listed that he did regularly? He fasted 2 days a week. As if we could brag to God about what we do. And it was this that Jesus was warning against, because when they fasted, they tended, and I'm reading here, they tended to put ashes on their head. So everyone would know they were fasting, and they would wear a frown on their face. So everybody would know, oh, look how holy these people are. They're fasting. We need to be particularly quiet about them and give them attention, or they're fasting. Wow. As if fasting made you more holy. But here's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:16. When you give up eating, don't put a sad face on like the hypocrites. They make their faces look sad to show people they are giving up eating. I tell you the truth, those hypocrites have already gotten their full reward. What do you think their full reward was? Being seen by men and having men praise them. Jesus said, that's all the praise they're going to get from men. Meaning, God wasn't going to praise them for their fasting. These Pharisees wanted to be seen by others and be praised. And praise probably was given to them. But this was the extent of their reward. In God's eyes, they deserved no reward. Now, Jesus did not forbid their fasting, or even fasting so that people might notice it. He did forbid fasting for the purpose of receiving praise from human beings. He taught fasting is best kept secret to avoid any temptation that we might seek human approval. And so, fasting is okay. Fasting is not wrong in and of itself. It's our attitude toward fasting that God has warned about. Is anyone fasting today? Well, really, we shouldn't know, should we? If we pray in secret and fast in secret, then how can we? Fasting is between one person and God. One cannot use fasting alone to find a better standing with God. Fasting is not a secret way to a more spiritual life. It is not a way to make God happy. If that's your reason for wanting to fast, Jesus condemned it. Fasting might lead us to a greater sense of devotion. It might help us to have a better prayer life. And these are good things. Yet there is a danger that fasting will be made completely empty and void of meaning if it becomes a ritual or something that we do just to do it. Jesus condemned the outward display of religion that comes from an empty heart. Not just fasting. You know, sacrifice that they were commanded to bring, God rejected it after a while. And you know why? The heart was empty. The heart wasn't behind the offering, which was always the point of worshiping God. It was a heart religion. Listen to this. This is, once again, Jesus, Matthew 23, verse 27 and 28. How terrible for you teachers of the law and Pharisees. You are hypocrites. You are like tombs that are painted white. Outside, those tombs look fine, but inside, they are full of the bones of the dead people and all kinds of unclean things. It is the same with you. People look at you and think you are good, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and evil. I've watched, in my time, a number of these so-called television evangelists until I got sick of them. Now, there are some good ones out there, but I have never forgotten particularly one where it was a husband and wife team. They're no longer married today. It was a husband and wife team, and they were smiling and happy and praising God, and all of a sudden, one broke down and started crying. And then the other one broke down and started crying. And they claimed that their television days were over. They no longer had enough money to exist. And they both were crying and crying and crying. And all of a sudden, their telephone started ringing and ringing and ringing. And I ask you, why were they crying? I don't know their hearts. But by appearance, I would say they wanted to raise money. Appearances can be deceiving. These Pharisees looked good, didn't they? They every market day they were fasting. Wow, on market day fasting. They would go to the temple and pray with open hands to God and loud enough, apparently, for everyone to be able to listen to them. We saw the example that Jesus listed in the Bible. But it appears that was for appearance only. Their heart was not behind it. And this happened in the Old Testament as well. This is found in Isaiah chapter 58, and this is the first part of verse 3. Here the prophets are warning of a religion that has substituted fasting for righteousness and piety and justice. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you have not noticed? The people were complaining. Here they were fasting, here they were living holy, and God was ignoring them. Now let me read to you the reply of God through the prophet. This is, once again, Isaiah 58, the last part of 3, and I'm going to read to about verse 10. But the Lord says, "You do what pleases yourself on these special days, and you are unfair to your workers. On these special days when you fast, you argue and fight and hit each other with your fist. You cannot do these things as you do now and believe your prayers are heard in heaven. This kind of special day is not what I want. This is not the way I want people to be sorry for what they have done. I don't want people just to bow their heads like a plant and wear rough clothes and lie in ashes to show their sadness. This is what you do on your special days when you fast. But do you think this is what the Lord wants? I tell you the kind of fast I want. Free the people you have put in prison unfairly and undo their chains. Free those to whom you are unfair and stop their hard labor. Share your food with the hungry and bring poor, homeless people into your home. When you see someone who has no clothes, give him yours and don't refuse to help your own relatives. Then your light will shine like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Your God will walk with you, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call out, and the Lord will answer. You will cry out, and He will say, 'Here I am.' If you stop making trouble for others, if you stop using cruel words and pointing your fingers at others, if you feed those who are hungry and take care of the needs of those who are troubled, then your light will shine in the darkness, and you will be bright like sunshine at noon." That's the New Century Version. Now I ask you, what was God important? Their religious activities such as fasting and bringing sacrifice? No. What were the things that God listed as important? Being righteous? Means doing right things, justice, taking care of the poor. These were the acts that God wanted to be visible to the world. Doing right things, feeding the poor, taking care of people who could not take care of themselves. These were the things God wanted, justice and righteousness. And not just shows of religion from the outside. Because as of the Pharisees, it looked good on the outside, but their inside was rotten away. There was nothing there but wickedness. Fasting can be a beautiful expression of service and devotion. Yet it does present an opportunity for Satan. Weakness and self-righteousness and pride are dangers that must be avoided. It's easy to think, I fast. What does JC do? I study in my library and prepare great sermons. What does Zona do? See, pride can come in quick, can't it? And that's what Jesus warns about. Pride and emptiness. There are dangers. Fasting can also be the result of circumstances. I've never forgotten this verse once I found it. It was in Mark 3:20. Then Jesus went home But again a crowd gathered. There were so many people that Jesus and his followers could not eat. Have you ever been that busy, Charlie? No time to eat. That's a fast by circumstance. Maybe not one of design, but once again, they couldn't eat a meal. But fasting can also be the result of a devoted life to God. Our service, involvement, or prayer may mean more to us than food at times. Maybe sometimes it wouldn't hurt us not to eat a meal or two, wouldn't it? I could certainly do with that. But you shouldn't do it to lose weight. That was never the purpose of a fast. It was to help us realize that God is the giver of all good things. And to clear our minds for prayer. Honest prayer to God. Not to be seen of man, but to help us dedicate our heart to God. A fast can be a day. It can be just one meal. It can be a week. I've never gone a week without food. And one time when they did one of these tests where they go into your intestine, like I wasn't allowed to eat for an entire day. But that wasn't the fast by design. That was so that they could do their medical thing. But I've discovered there are types of fast devoted to prayer that have nothing to do with food. In 1 Corinthians 7, 4 through 6, it says, the wife does not have full rights over her own body. Her husband shares them. And the husband does not have full rights over his own body. His wife shares them. Do not refuse to give your bodies to each other unless you both agree to stay away from sexual relations for a time so you can give your time to prayer. You see, the thought is giving up something that we can devote time to prayer. You ever notice fasting? Fasting is almost always linked to prayer in some way. Because it's making time for God. I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, maybe we need to turn off the television and pray as a family. It was designed to give us time that we might talk to our God, to walk with Jesus. Let us not lose our sense of perspective. We do not need to deprive ourselves of food to show God how important our prayer is to Him. He already knows. But we may be fasting to remind ourselves of the importance of prayer. It is certainly proper to fast in order to do a good work. Now, when I was at Fried Hardeman, college kids don't always have a lot of food, do we? I don't know if some of you can remember back in college days, but we didn't always have a lot of money to give up. And the cafeteria did something amazing once. They said, we know college kids don't have a lot of money. And so, on this particular day, if you will go without your lunch this day, we will take the money that would have bought lunch and give it to whatever cause the student body wanted to be given to. And, you know, they said, of course, there are students that can't do that. We understand. But all those who do not eat their lunch on that day, we will donate that money. And so we fasted for a good cause. I can't remember what that cause was today. But we fasted, and the cafeteria, I can't remember, it was Gaines, I think, who also did Harding, donated that money to a specific cause. And they didn't have to do that. But here was, once again, fasting for a good work. There is a place for fasting in the kingdom. It is voluntary. No one can command it of you or demand it of you. Not even Jesus demanded or commanded fasting from his followers. But he did permit fasting. He did give instruction on how one should fast so that it would not be seen of others. Wash yourself, he said. Wear a smile. No one needs to know you're fasting because that's something between you and between your God. Fasting accompanied with prayer can be a valuable and useful tool for the Christian as long as it remains that. A tool, a show of devotion between you and God. Can we fast today? Of course. Must we fast? No, though there might be times when we think we need to fast. And I would encourage you, if you think it's necessary at that time for you to humble yourself and fast, do it. Just, we don't need to be telling one another, do we? You see, what's important to God is our heart. What's important to God is that we live justly in the world. That we learn to care about others. That our religion is not emptiness, ritual, but from the heart. God does love us. God has promised us all of our needs will be met if we seek His kingdom. Fasting is one way to seek His kingdom, if done in the proper way. I've read a lot of books on fasting, and none of them have really ever satisfied me. Fasting is something we can do. When we follow the ways of Jesus in fasting. Does any of you this night need the prayers of the church? Do you need this night to wash away your sin? You see, sin brings death. Death means separation from God into eternity. And there is a way of salvation. A way that we can cleanse ourselves through the blood of the Lamb. If you would like to be cleansed this evening, then come as we stand and sing.